We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Oh. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Back jumper.
Got it!
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am Ty Windisch. I am joined, as always, by the manipulative Rohan Kadi. I have a reason for this one, folks.
Ty, what do you mean, Ty? What do you mean? Rohan, have done no such manipulation.
Rohan hits me up before we do this and says, you think we should lower the amount we can invest this week? I think knowing he was the first one of us to hit a short, so he gets a bonus, Rohan trying to constrict my investments while getting the same amount to invest. Nice try, Rohan. We're not doing that. But how's it going, my friend?
I'm doing all right. You know, nice little Sunday morning here. Have some coffee. I made some cinnamon rolls. Yeah. I'm living.
Like from scratch? Or are we talking you broke open one of those rolls and heated them?
I'm not nearly talented enough.
You'd be surprised, actually, how much baking is easier and less imposing than it seems. But enough about...
I would highly disagree with that. I feel like baking takes a lot more patience than normal cooking.
Yeah, that's true.
I can do like normal cooking. Baking takes a lot of patience that I seem to lack sometimes.
Okay. We won't expect any homemade baked goods from Rohan in the near future, which is fair.
I will accept homemade baked goods.
Yeah, you got to give them. You're a receiver, not a giver when it comes to homemade baked goods.
I would also like to take this time to apologize to all the Keiths out there.
Yeah,
especially offended in the episode with Haley and Jordan, which was awesome, by the way.
What a great episode.
Yes, I did not mean it to disrespect the name Keith. We did have someone hit me up on Twitter.
Keith Keskinen. Keskinen? Sorry,
yes,
Keith. Now we have to apologize for the last name slander, but yeah.
Apologies to all the Keiths out there. I just had to say that.
Yeah, you did. That was a great call. It's just the name Keith is just so intimidating. It rattled us. But let's get to the market. You know what's funny is I tweeted about this. I said a down week for me actually wasn't bad. My portfolio is still quite strong. Total value of 117. And if this is the first you're hearing of the Bucks stock market, basically – Rohan and I kind of, after every Bucks game, decide, you know, did a player play above expectations, below, or about on par? And if it's above or below, we give them an up stock or a down stock. And after doing this for a while, it's kind of a fun way to chart how the season was going. We decided, why don't we actually invest in this and take it to the next level? So our GameStop right now is Bobby Portis, but actually not this week. But So that's the market. So through all of our investments so far, my total value, 117, not bad. Very much buoyed by like three stocks. But the reason I said it was bad, or my, I was a brutal week for me. Dante did take a hit, and I invested in Dante at 11 units, down to 9 now. So that was not a sound investment, but still a lot of total value. I believe Rohan's value right now heading into this investing session is 93. It's hard to calculate because literally like 10 different stocks Rohan has, some of them several shares of each, but Rohan did not get out of his Brolo, which Brolo actually didn't have a bad week. It just stayed the same, but it's still such a killer to the overall value, sitting at -2 per share. And Rohan with 6 shares of Brook Lopez riding that one out. It was a bad week for Bud. Bud dropped from -2 to -4 after we found out that he didn't actually draw up the play from the Clippers game, and then had a really bad coaching game against Denver in our estimation. So between Brook Lopez and Bud stock, Rohan is eating away a solid $28, bucks, coins, whatever. That's the combined value of those two. So like a lot of good stuff here on your portfolio, Rohan, but those negatives are really keeping the overall down.
Yeah, they really are. I'm just looking at the spreadsheet right now, and yes, it is very large. But yeah, the -12, the -16 on Brook Lopez and Bud, that's just, I'm just thankful to be still in the positive.
Yeah.
And also, well, Ty, we did not mention, where do we find the stock market now? Where do we find the
Real-time values? Great call. So every game, the stock market tweets are not coming from Rohan or I. Eurostep now has an actual Twitter account. You can follow the pod itself at Eurostep Podcast. Someone who hasn't tweeted in like 8 years has at Eurostep. No, I'm not salty about it at all. But really? At Eurostep Podcast. Yeah, someone has Eurostep already. I think it's a Greek person, which makes sense. But yeah, follow the pod. We're going to tweet a lot more from there during games and just other occasions as well. And I think the nice thing is there's still going to be Bucks stuff from our account, but you know that account is going to have all of the Bucks content. Like, we're going to retweet important Bucks stuff from our own account onto it, or whoever runs it, whatever shadowy figure is in control of at Eurostep Podcast, who can say. But it's going to be strictly Bucks, so a good place to find Bucks content as well on Twitter, in addition to at Ty Windish and at Arcadi Jr., the bastions of Bucks Twitter. Great call out, Rohan.
At Eurostep is a French company that markets a lightest, smallest, and cheapest Segway.
Oh, I was wrong. Yeah, 19 followers, hasn't tweeted since 2013.
And they have 2 total tweets.
Segways don't look good. The Segways don't look good.
They really
don't. No wonder. Okay, enough slander for this French Segway company. So other big thing to recap from this last week is, well, I mean, we had an amazing Jrue Holiday game winner. I think we'll get there as we actually talk about the individual stocks. But in terms of market activity, we finally had a successful short. This is in our 4th week of doing this. Rohan shorts Bobby Portis, which it broke my heart that you did that. And it broke my heart more that it paid off. Bobby was shorted at a price of 17 per, had a bad game and dropped to 16 per. So that is the first successful short. I tried to short Brook Lopez. He almost went up. It was almost the opposite. It just fell apart a little bit defensively against Memphis. And again, was not on the floor to close the game, which I think is very noteworthy and important. But Brook Lopez's value does not change. Rohan, our first ever short winner, your buying power increased. How does it feel?
I think it's just good karma in the world for finally not picking Bryn Forbes.
Exactly.
The short of the week. I just literally needed to go anywhere else and it would pay off. And it did. It actually did. I was worried last week that Bryn Forbes would actually turn out to be the short this week, and I just completely messed everything up because I don't know. I feel like that's sort of my brand. But
yeah.
It feels good. It feels good. Obviously, like Bobby, it's not like he went down too much. He went down 1. It's fine. Like, I love Bobby. I love Bobby. It's just, it's unfortunate that he was the casualty in the situation. But I don't know. I feel like I picked him because he was sort of, he's sort of been trailing off a little, and I don't want to say that in like a negative connotation, like he's actively hurting the Bucks on the court. No, he's still a very positive contributor to the Bucks and very important, but his role and sort of his output and production has seemed to diminish in the last two-ish weeks, I want to say.
Yeah, so I agree.
I don't know. It feels like this was the time, and this might just be like a mid-season slump, right? Like we're coming up on the All-Star break. These players are sort of like fed up. I can't believe we're only halfway through the season. Like that's just that's bonkers to me. I feel like this has been going on forever, but in, this is a shortened season as well, so it's even more wild. But I don't know. It just feels like Bobby's been sort of slipping a little bit in terms of production value. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, you're not. He certainly had quieter games. I should go through and look. I almost feel like he's playing a little less, but that might not be true. He might have just been on such an unsustainably hot run for a while, but I do feel like he's almost been a little less involved, too. I just haven't seen as much from him. So I think his downstock came from a game where, like, 1-for-3 from the floor and defensively just was not holding up the best. And, I mean, obviously, Bobby Portis, I think, has surprised a few people with being able to do some things defensively, but he's an offense-first player, right? Like, that's where you need the contributions from Portis. So if he's taking three shots, unless he's making all three and getting some free throws, it's probably not going to be a terrific game for him. Although we have seen some blocks and steals for sure from Bobby Portis. But yeah, I hope we see him kind of refreshed and rejuvenated after the All-Star break, after he was snubbed from the three-point contest. Ridiculous. He should be there. But
he's the league leader in three-point percentage, right?
That is beautiful. I think still. I never know. I never know until it's later in the season. But to your point on this season feeling like it's taking forever, I agree. I think it's the frequency of games. Like, usually I don't love the All-Star break because I'm probably gonna watch tonight, but I'm like, I enjoy the games more than this thing. But this year it's just like the even this last week before it was nice, I feel like they were spread out a little bit more. There's been so many like 2 weeks in a row where it's every other day or more, it feels like they're playing like four games in seven nights, and all we have to do is watch and talk about the games. Imagine what the actual players feel going through that. But it's just been a helter-skelter season for sure.
Yeah, actually, for a minimum of 30 attempts on the season, Bobby Portis is now third in three-point percentage.
Behind. Joe Harris is first, right?
No.
Oh.
Tony Snell is
number
one. 56.5%.
Is Joe Harris second, or is he below that?
No, yeah, Joe Harris is second.
Okay. On like a crazy
an
volume.
Astonishing 50.6% on a total of 249 attempts.
I think he's going to have to trail off, but the numbers he's put up so far are just insane.
I don't think he's going to trail off that much because all the shots he's getting are wide open.
Yeah, it helps to be on the team with KD, Kyrie, and James Harden for sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. But Bobby Portis is still third in the league in three-point percentage, which is just insane. I did not expect that coming into the season.
I still feel good about quietly but steadily maintaining over the last 2 years, and I wish the Bucks had found a way to hold on to Tony Snell. Just like a good role player.
No, really is, and who knows? He might be back.
That would be an amazing buyout. I don't think it's happening, but
yeah,
you never
but
know.
Yeah, Bobby Portis. You mentioned that he hasn't been playing a lot recently. Last two games against Memphis, 15 minutes. Against Denver, just a shade under 17 minutes. Against the Clippers, 20 minutes, and then before that, he was like constant 20s, 30s.
Yeah, I think he should be getting like 24 minutes a night, at least, personally.
Yeah, I feel like that's fair. I feel like that's fair. He doesn't really get played off the floor against most teams.
I don't think they should really drop with him. I feel like that's his worst on defense, is when they try to drop, because he'll get stuck in no man's land pretty easily between like the person he's supposed to be dropping against and the guard and the action. But like when you switch, I think he honestly does fine. I'm worried that the Bud is like a hot hand coach, and I feel like he's still got Portis in the hot hand space instead of like the you're gonna play every night space. Like I think Pat and Bobby should both play every night because they're two of the more consistent bench contributors, but like Pat gets the consistent minutes every single night. I think that's where Portis should be too.
Yeah, that's completely fair. Imagine saying that before the season started.
Imagine learning anything about how Brooke Lopez and DJ Augustine have looked. I mean, those probably two players we expected to be two of the more consistent. And now, I mean, just looking at the stock market alone, Lopez -2, DJ A at 0, holding 0 for a long time now. DJ Acoin, literally worthless, but better than negatives. But yeah, so you have a buying power. No, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say DJ Augustine. I feel like, yeah, he can go up a little bit because he's probably going to return to the bench unit soon after the All-Star break. But
yeah,
we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we will. So you have $25 to spend, literal bucks. I have 20 because, again, your short paid off. And I'm not even going to run through your whole portfolio. You can check out the market at tywindish.com, and then there's a Bucks stock market section. I think the link is also in my bio, and I'll tweet. We'll make sure it's tweeted from the pod account today as well. But if you want to check it out yourself, Rohan is a billion shares and a billion stocks, but also $25 to spend and potentially more sales to make. So you got to kick it off again, Rohan. What are you doing first?
Okay, so last week I actually made my first sale ever on the stock
first
market.
Two sales. Showed,
yeah, sold Torrey Craig, sold to Sam Merrill. I feel like the Torrey Craig, you know, paid off a little bit. I mean, given he went down one share in value, and that's kind of wild considering that only happened because he got minutes.
Yeah, it was only against Denver. It was like he's like, oh, you'll play against Denver, but nowhere else.
Nowhere else. The only reason, was it you who tweeted this, that the only reason the Bucks signed Torrey Craig was for a potential Denver Finals matchup?
No, I think that was Kane. I think that was a Kane pick.
It was Kane.
It was a good tweet.
Yeah, so maybe holding on to Torrey Craig was not the best idea in my book, and I'm glad I got out while I could, because it doesn't seem like he's actually going to be playing that much, considering, like I said, we're halfway through the season. We're at the All-Star break. The All-Star game is tonight.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's been a lot of opportunities for Torrey Craig to establish himself, or get an opportunity, I should say, because it's not entirely his fault. So, I don't know. I just had to get out. Sam Merrill, I thought he would play. He did not really. So I still have a share of Sam Merrill. So, what do I want to do here? I think I'm going to sell high on someone right now. And it pains me to do this.
Oh no. I know what this is going to be.
So I have 3 shares of Thanasis.
Yep.
I'm going to keep 2, sell 1.
Okay.
Who is currently valued.
I'm selling 1 for 6. Yeah. So here's the thing about, I find it fascinating.
6 is really high.
That over the last week, it is. I find it fascinating that over the last week, Torrey Craig and Thanasis stock just flip-flopped. So Torrey Craig was at 6 and dropped 1 to 5. Thanasis was at 5 and increased 1 to 6. This is like probably the most contentious, I would say, sort of position battle, right? Like, I guess if you want to count Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis for center, and I mean contentious within Bucks fans, I don't think like Thanasis and Torrey Craig are fighting or anything. But I think like this is one of those where there's a certain group of people that think every time Thanasis plays, it's an affront to basketball. It should always be Torrey Craig. And then I do think Thanasis has won some people over. He's played well the last several weeks. I mean, when was the last time we gave him a down stock? I mean, I know he doesn't play that many minutes, but he hasn't ever. Oh, okay. No. Game 10 and 11. Yep. So he got up to 3, then went down. He had a couple earlier, but since game 11, he really didn't play for a while, but then upstock in game 29, 30, 31, and 32, a very meteoric rise. And then game 36, the last game before the break against Memphis. He's been a positive contributor, but I do see the logic in thinking this might be fool's gold.
I'm so torn. I am so, so torn on this. Because I still think, like, I'm a big Thanasis guy. Right.
Of course. How could you not be?
Exactly. Like, I feel like I've established personally through this podcast that I am a big believer in Thanasis. Do I think that he should be on the floor in important games, like in crunch time? I haven't completely bought into that yet.
Yeah, I think I'm not there at all. So, yeah, I agree with you there.
So that's where it sort of comes into a conundrum, right? Because we're gearing up for important games, right? And especially in the second half of the season, like the Bucks are going to be playing Philly a bunch. They're going to be playing Brooklyn. They're going to be playing the Lakers. I don't know. There's going to be a lot of important games. And there's, like Bud has shown to his credit, that in these big games, Thanasis doesn't play.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just does not play. And that's, you know what? That's fair. That's really fair. Cause I would agree with that decision. That doesn't mean I don't love Thanasis. I want to say that out there, but I don't know. It's so tough for me to decide whether he's actually good or not. I think he's good. I think he's decent, but I feel like it's going to run out at some point.
I think it's just, there's such a thin line for me between, like, the aggression he plays with is great. He just has to be cautious about doing too much. And his best games are, like, you can see it. He'll shoot, like, outside of dunks. He'll dunk. And obviously, every dunk is good. But, like, when he's shooting threes, I usually don't really like that. It was funny. I think we talked about it in the last pod or at some point. But, like, he shot a three that people derided. And it was such a good look. But it was because it was Thanasis shooting it. And, like, Chris Middleton was on the floor. It was terrible. The funny thing with Thanasis, I feel like he loses the most stock and just aggravates people the most. He will pass like to no one from time to time. Like he'll lose where the players are. I think that's, you know, there's criticisms about like his, you know, feel for the game. I think that's where it's most evident. But like defensively, I think he's actually solid to good.
Yeah,
he's a good rebounder.
Offensive feel for the game, I will say.
Yeah.
Defensively, he's got it.
Yeah, I mean, he fouls way too much, but it's almost you almost want it from him. That's kind of like part of the Thanasis appeal. I think he's okay. I think he's fine. Like this has been my take for a while, right? Like I think he is an average NBA rotational player, or at least around there, and it kind of fluctuates up or down given on the night. Like his athleticism can make him look more than that at times, and then other times he'll have some lapses that make him look less than that, which I think makes him like an average, or not rotation, but like an average replacement player. An absolutely fine 13th guy, counting the second round picks as 14 and 50. Or I guess he'd be 12th because we're at 14 right now. But yeah.
You know what's a wild stat?
What?
Thanasis has taken 42 shots this season.
What's he shooting? Like 50-some percent?
He is shooting. What just come up? He's shooting 60%. 65%. Yeah, so
that's most of his shots are wide open. Like most of his shots are dunks.
26 of 43 this entire season.
Yeah, he doesn't shoot a ton, which is good. You don't want him to shoot.
Yeah,
that's
fine. Like he recognizes his role on this team, which is why we sort of made the joke, like you mentioned, about him shooting a three. Like he took a wide open 3-point attempt. Like,
if you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Those are really the only ones he will take. And the Miami game where they broke the record, he made one or two threes in that game.
Yeah, he's taken 8 total threes this season. One of them was sort of a heave as well. So
yeah,
it's just he recognizes that he's not a great shooter of the basketball, and he doesn't do it that often.
Great shooter.
That's why I sort of feel like he's like he's the antithesis of the let it fly mentality, in that he knows he shouldn't shoot, so he doesn't. And I feel like that works on this team.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I just want to take a second to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle is created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level, or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. On top of all that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms, including wherever you're listening to the Eurostep. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join, or you can check out the description box for this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join. Okay, back to the episode. So that is the secret behind my Pat C love, because Pat C has not really forced shots this season. I think that's exactly what the Bucks need on this team with, when they're all healthy, Giannis, Chris, and Drew. Like, I don't want the fourth guy on the floor to try and dribble into a contested pull-up, cough, Dante, cough. Like, shoot open shots or get to the rim if you can, but that's about all I want you doing. Like, if it's going to be a contested shot, there's three guys more qualified than you to take it, so you just have to be smart. And Thanasis is not going to force many shots.
Yeah. With Dante, though, I feel like he needs that a little bit for his development if he wants to get be what the Bucks want him to be, which is what I feel like.
Is he 25? Is he 25 years old?
Is he really?
How old is Dante? 24. Just turned 24. Wow. A fresh 24. But I do think, like,
yeah,
development is good. It's 24. It's okay. Yeah.
We did a whole thing on the show like a couple weeks ago. Okay.
About young core.
Yeah.
What thing do we do that I can't do?
Talking about. Yeah.
Oh, about not like selling short on potential and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And development. Yeah. Mm. Well, I'm going to. I'm going to sell one Dante. Here's the thing. I just bought it too high. I just bought it way too high, right? Like, that's the issue. Like, I've done this before. Like, I get excited about a player because Dante was on such a run, and I buy Dante at 11, which is like, Drew Holiday was at 14 at the time, and Chris Middleton was at 17 at the time. And I know Bobby Portis stock is crazy, but Dante higher than pretty much everybody except for those aforementioned players, Giannis and Bryn Forbes. And I go in on a 22 on two shares of white Dante. Just a little bit too much. So I'm gonna level it out, add some to my buying power, and move off of one Dante. I think that's gonna be my only sale, though.
Okay, fair enough. It's tough. I thought about selling my Dante as well. But
you have one?
I have one.
Yeah, you have one. Okay.
So I don't know. I thought about it. I might make a risky decision, but who knows? We'll see.
Oh. Okay.
I'm done with my sales, and you are too, right?
Yes.
Do you want to be the first buy?
I do. I'm going in on Giannis.
Okay. Okay. Big buys here.
I needed to open up some funds. I want to get a... Oh, actually, I didn't sell enough. Oops. Oh, well. I'm getting a Giannis. No, I can still afford it. No, I can afford Giannis. I had another move in mind, but that's okay. One Greek Freak for 23. Here's the thing with Giannis stock. The way he's playing lately... Like, I think really the team kind of held him down more than anything these last couple of games from getting an up stock. He is now back to, like, a bad game for him is, like, 28, 12, and 5, shooting, like, 50% from the field and 1-for-3 from deep. So it's just, like, I think the ceiling is limitless and the floor is very, very high with Giannis stock. So who knows, maybe being on LeBron's team, maybe he'll pick up even a little bit more playmaking. I think that's been – Giannis' big improvement this year has been his playmaking. So maybe he'll learn a thing or two from LeBron and really come out here and start racking up more triple-doubles, Doesn't matter, though. He's great even without an extra boost. You can't go wrong with Giannis stock.
Number one pick in the All-Star draft.
Yeah, that was wild, right?
I kind of expected it. Why would you say it's wild?
Well, there were some people who I saw some tweets. Some Bucks fans are just a little too aggrieved, man. Like, Giannis is going to be the last pick. The NBA hates Giannis. I was like, what evidence is this? Like, what? I don't see that one coming at all. I just could have seen LeBron going a separate way. I don't know if this is true. I think it is true. I heard he joked when he was talking about who he's going to pick. There's no upcoming free agents, so I'm just going to go with best guy first. I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard that.
I did not watch the All-Star draft, so I wouldn't know.
I didn't know the Bucks were playing, so yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be wild. I feel like if he did actually say that, I would have seen that.
Yeah, but I think so. I think it's probably made up. But yeah, I digress. I'm buying it.
He was the first pick in the draft. I don't know who he would have taken. Like, AD is not playing, so I don't know. I feel like LeBron should have gone Giannis. Like, I don't know. There were a bunch of jokes on Bucks Twitter about how last year during the All-Star game, Giannis blocked a LeBron fadeaway, so he's like, nah, I can't have that again. So he took him first if he can't beat him, join him sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was a shame that Giannis wasn't a captain this year. I feel like we didn't talk about that. He had been for the last 2 years. But also, he might get a chance to win All-Star Game MVP because the team's not going to be utter garbage. So there's that.
Do you know he still has the record for points per game in All-Star Games?
Does he really? That doesn't surprise
27
me.
27
points. He actually
goes hard. Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if he can expound on that lead or anything in this game. It's harder now, though.
I think
the scores are tighter, and there's a little more defense now than there was for the last decade.
He just has to assert himself early in the game because that's when people still don't care as much.
Right. Yeah. Like 10 dunks in the first half.
Yeah. Just go for what is it? Paul George's scoring record in a game.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Or is it Paul George or is it AD?
Oh, AD might have said it.
I think AD has like 50
in
a game.
Yeah, it was
whatever.
The one in
it's
New
the
Orleans,
game.
I think.
It's the All-Star game. Yeah. Who cares? But yeah, so you're going to go in on one stock Giannis. That takes up a majority of your buying power. You have a good old
six bucks left.
I'm going to double down on something here, Ty. I'm going to pick up another Drew Holiday.
This isn't more Horst, is it? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a great buy. That's the one I wanted to make, so I did the math wrong in my head. Yeah. Gotcha. For 15.
So I picked him up last week because I was like, oh, he's going to be coming back. He did come back because we did it after the Clippers game. He struggled a little bit. He's looking like he's getting his NBA footing back after, dealing with COVID, sort of getting his physicality back. But he's actually looked good. He's still not completely there yet. The All-Star break is coming. Like, it's here. He has some more chance to rest and recover because he's not participating. So we get that. And we also, even in Drew Holiday's sort of coming back sort of state, not fully back, doesn't have his legs under him, still hitting game winners, Ty.
Oh, it's so good. It was beautiful.
Making big plays on defense and offense. That defensive possession on Ja Morant with a minute left. Just under a minute left was big, just so massive on defense. That goes back to what we were talking about with Haley and Jordan, where I didn't really understand that Drew Holiday was just a straight stopper on defense, and he showed that he was a straight stopper. And then he makes the heads up play, him and Dante. Yeah. So that's the classic Kyle Lowry, just after a basket, just sort of leak out, get the ball out as fast as possible. So they did that. Drew Holiday doesn't realize he realizes he's not going to get to the rim. Takes sort of like a step back two along the baseline for the game. That was beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful. These are the type of plays that we expect from Drew Holiday. And even though we sort of want them to happen, it's still so exciting to see a Milwaukee Buck making plays like that at the point guard position.
And Lowry was a good name to invoke because I feel like the late game performance was pure grit from Drew, because just didn't, he hasn't looked himself since returning from COVID for obvious reasons, kind of getting back up to speed. But I think he just like, he willed it out, right? Like he's like, I can grind out one defensive possession and then I can take the ball down and get a shot that I like. And he did it. And it was just so great to see because of the struggles. And I feel like it made it even more savory that he just went down and nailed that thing. It was just, what a great couple sequences to end a game that was a little bit of a slog for a while, right? Like it's kind of a brutal game for a little bit. The Bucks build up a huge lead, completely lose it, playing like crap, giving up great looks to Memphis. And then Drew Holiday's like, yeah, we didn't play well, but we're getting the win.
Yeah, he put the team on his back, and that's something that we really needed from Drew, because Giannis and Chris, they were great in that game, especially Giannis, I will say. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, Chris had a decent game, I'll say.
Yeah.
It was all right. nothing bad, nothing great. Giannis was good, but Drew Holiday, they needed someone else to take it to another level, and Drew was the guy tonight. And that's the entire reason, like I said, that he's on this team, because he is capable of taking it to the next level when it matters.
I need a Drew Holiday, too. I'm going to amend my sale. I'm selling all my Dantes to get myself an extra 9, get myself up to 15, and then I'm getting a Drew. I need a Drew. That was like my whole goal. I was like, Drew at 15 is nuts. Look at the way he's adding, even Wall still getting back. I need to get myself a Drew. So I'm divesting from Dante DiVincenzo, going in on Drew Holiday. Just one. I can only get one, but I need that in my portfolio, man. I can't have a portfolio without Drew. That just doesn't look right.
Yeah, that's fair.
For all the reasons we just talked about.
You're tempting me here to buy another one.
You could, and you could still, your drug, your addictive chemical that you can't get enough of, you could still afford a horse afterward.
Yeah, I feel like we should, that's a good mention. We should talk about that a little bit. Maybe something gets done over the All-Star break.
Potentially. Yeah, you're hoping.
I think so. Like, legitimately, I think if there was a time to do it, it's right now.
Yeah, I mean, they actually have time to, you know, take a second, breathe, and talk about it. When the Bucks play again, is it Wednesday or Thursday?
I believe Wednesday.
But it's still, like, even after today, it's a few days off. So I assume everyone's probably home right now. So, like, I wouldn't expect it today. But maybe when everyone gets back to market and, you know, like Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever that is, I do think this would be one of the logical times where it would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's... We've seen it in the past with sort of Milwaukee, where they take sort of, they do it on like road trips or lulls. Like we saw the Eric Bledsoe midseason extension during a West Coast road trip. We saw, like, is that the only one we've seen?
Yeah, because I mean, Giannis was kind of randomly before the season at an unexpected time. Chris obviously was not extended. He was re-signed, but that was like immediately in free agency. So I think those are the big ones.
But they sort of, they get things done sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Bucks play again Thursday against the Knicks.
Yep. I just pulled it. You're right.
Could be Wednesday. Potentially. No sauces here. Just guessing. Just vibes. Yeah.
And then he can do what he wants to Neal Akina now, because he's starting for the Knicks, right?
I think so. Because Tibbs will do anything not let Quickly start.
Yeah, which is, yeah, that's fine. Like, he's still young. He needs to learn how to play against second units.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about the Knicks?
I don't know. Because they're a great story this year. And now every star who's not signed a long-term deal like Giannis is being linked
or
there.
Or even if they are signed to a long-term deal like Dame.
Was that Dame? Yeah. Stephen A. Smith wants Dame to be a Knick, baby. Julius Randle, the star that people want to play with. I love the world.
I hate that discourse so much.
Oh, I hate that discourse too.
I will say, glad it's not us anymore.
Yeah, oh, totally. I just like, I'm very happy for Julius Randle, but yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that we're doing this thing. And now even Steph, who plays in San Francisco, they're like, Steph has to get to New York or a more competent franchise.
Wait, hold up here, Ty. No, don't you ruin this for us. Steph's coming to Milwaukee.
True.
I'm glad that discourse is happening. Put that into the ether.
Get it out there. Steph, LeBron, and Giannis, they're sketching out the plan at All-Star.
Can you imagine what that team would look like?
No.
I mean, I guess we're going to see it tonight. But like...
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess, yes. Even you'll be able to, even if you don't have a good imagination.
That's, oh my goodness. That team would win like 10 straight titles.
Yeah, easily. Even I
with,
mean,
even with LeBron being 36.
If it was all minimum contract guys around them, they'd still be unstoppable. I mean, imagine the minimum contract guys you would get.
Yeah, you would get...
If Brynn and Torrey Craig were the other two starters, they'd still be unstoppable.
I feel like that's a solid starting caliber.
Oh, yeah.
Starting five. Like, you're acting like those two aren't capable starters.
No, not, but they're just like, they're the two best minimum guys on the Bucks, right? So that's why I picked them. Fair. It wasn't just completely random. But,
are they the best?
Who else is on a minimum?
Thanasis.
Oh, good point.
I don't know. Just throwing that out there.
Just throwing that out there.
I have $16 left. I think you've convinced me, Ty. I'm going to get another share of Drew.
There we go. One more Drew Holiday for Rohan Kadi. You're up to three shares now total? Yeah, because you bought one last week. Yeah.
I need to get my portfolio up with big-time players. Like, I can't have my highest shares be John Horst, Brooke Lopez, and Bud.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I need to get some up and up, and who else to go on rather than Drew Holiday for all the reasons we just discussed. So I have one. I'm going to add to this. I have one left. I'm going to go with another John Horst. I think an extension gets to. I have to. What do you want me to do, Ty?
I don't know, but I just love it. This is the fourth time you've invested in Horst.
He was it's my first drug. Ever buy.
Yeah, two Horst for four. My first buy was Dante. And then I bought it, and then I sold it. I can't decide how I feel about Dante Diva. It's actually perfectly encapsulates like just my thought process on Dante. Buy, sell, buy, sell, buy, sell. I don't know what to believe.
It's literally a week to week opinion.
It's very volatile.
Yeah. John Horst, get the extension done so we can talk about this next week about how my investments are paying off on you. Come on, John. I'll let you in on a little bit of it if you sort of.
That's insider like trading.
I was gonna say that's in. No, I've already bought it though. I've already bought it.
So it's I think it's stock manipulation, market manipulation.
That, still that's illegal.
Yeah. People hit us with claims of that all the time. Which fair, we totally are doing that. Twirls mustache.
But yeah, so that's all the buying power we have. We've exhausted it all. You've gone big this week. You got a Giannis, you got a Drew. I got two Drews and a John Horst here.
I have a controversial short coming up.
Okay. Let's just, we can get into it right now. Cause it's time for our shorts.
It is time. I didn't mean to cut you off. I've been sitting on it this whole pod and I almost screamed out like three different times. Cause I think it's going to turn heads.
Okay. Also, we do have Embiid and Simmons might not play tonight.
Yeah, I saw that. Woj bomb. A barber that tested positive in Philly.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a crazy world out there, folks. Mask up.
Please do. Please do.
Please do.
Okay. So, what's your short?
This pains me.
I'm doing it.
I'm shorting cash. Shorting Chris Middleton.
Oh no!
Is this what you thought it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I haven't loved what I've seen over the past few weeks. And still, you know, after a down stock about a week ago, two up stocks since then, and then no movement over this last week. I don't know, man. I just a little too much passivity. He's been a little too passive. I think that's the only way you can really say that. And so when the shots aren't falling, it hasn't been great. And really, like, I don't think Chris has been playing stellar defense for probably about two and a half years now, which is expected because his offensive load has increased so much. But the thing that leads to now is, you know, if he's not distributed, like that's the other thing. His assisting has been great, pretty much everything on offense. But because he's not usually going to add much on defense, there's not many plays where you're like, oh, that was incredible defense by Chris Middleton. It's just he's usually solid and in position, but not really like impacting the game enough to drive an upstock through defense. So then it's like if he only has like two or three assists and a bad shooting night, that's almost like a guarantee at this point, given the expectations on him. So I just think it's easy for Chris to get down stocks just because of those expectations. And he's been in a little bit of a funk lately. So I'm going to lean into it. I'm the Chris Middleton villain now somehow. I don't know how this happened, but I'm here. It's like the wrestling gif where the guy pulls off the mask. That's me. And it's still me.
That is perfect. I will say I did think about it. I did
think about
making Christmas.
Jeez, so it's not just me.
I did think about it. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it because I love Chris and I can't do that to my boy.
What moral high ground you've got there? I almost did it, but I'll let you do it instead and take the brunt of this.
Hey, even if you weren't doing it, I still wasn't going to do it.
Mm. Okay.
So my short of the week. This is tough. This is tough. But for all the reasons you just mentioned a little bit earlier, I'm going to pick Dante.
Oh, see, this is just like such a risk. I cannot. It's so hard to even tell what's going to happen with Dante. I feel like his hot and cold spells can just go back and forth immediately.
They really can. They really can. It's so tough. But I feel like once he gets into a little bit of a lull, he sort of stays there for a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And then he claws himself back out, and then, you know, he's riding the highs. So these sort of downtrends, they stand for a couple days, maybe a week, a couple games, I should say. So that's why I'm going to pick Dante, because the slide has just started.
Yeah, see, it's the Icarus thing with him, right? Like, I do really believe that. I mean, the Carson Wentz thing, that's like such a good analogy still, I think. And shout out me tooting my own horn ridiculously. But like, most of the great stuff Dante does, even, I mean, I bought into it foolishly twice now. Well, I guess earlier in the season, it was a little different. Earlier in the season, he was just like an amazing catch and shoot player, and that kind of waned. But then the last hot streak, I just felt like the shots he was taking, it won the Bucks a game or two, and it looked amazing for a while. But even in the moment, I was like, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to hold. I'm a little worried about this. And then it stopped holding, and the shots stopped going in. And all of a sudden, and that's the thing, like, there are some players like Chris, like there's games where Chris will not make a ton of shots, but if he's aggressive and gets to the rim a few times and distributes, it can still be a good game. Like Dante, it's like jarring. Like some of the shots he'll try to take and then miss when he's not on. Like it looks worse than like any other player, I think, really on the Bucks, because I don't know if there's anyone else who's that unproven offensively who has that audacious of a shot profile, right? Like, Bryn Forbes takes some wild ones, but Bryn Forbes has been an elite marksman for like 4 years. Bobby Portis, honestly, to me, doesn't even really heat check like that. But Bobby Portis has been like a solidly incredible shot maker for almost the whole season. And he's known as a skilled offensive player even before this. Like, Chris is a two-time All-Star. Giannis is Giannis. Drew Holiday really doesn't force anything. Dante is the one guy where it's like, You're never totally sold the shot's going to go in, but he will absolutely take them. And it can really just like, it can be like a, it's like, it, like, I think jarring is the best word. It's like, oh my goodness, what was that shot?
Yeah, it's just consistency. That's always what we're going to be coming back to with Dante. He's not, I doubt at this point, like, this is his third year. I don't want to just hamper it, but that's really what's holding him back right now. Honestly, it's consistency. You don't have to ride these highs all the time where you're just, if you're feeling hot, right? Like, a lot of players go on hot streaks, but when they go on hot streaks, they don't just start chucking up like 15,000 shots a game at an insane sort of shot selection. They sort of play within themselves, and sort of, if they are, you know, feeling a little audacious, as you said, they, you know, maybe take a couple shots that they wouldn't normally take. But even when they're not feeling that super hot streak, they play within themselves. They do what they want to do in terms of getting to their own spots where they know they are capable of making shots. Dante doesn't do that. Even when he's feeling like he's, you know, sort of down, he takes those audacious shots anyway. So it's like a shot selection and consistency thing. And those two play into each other, and they're not going to sort of resolve themselves until at least one of those factors sort of, you know, gets developed within him. Like, consistency is a little hard to develop. It's just something that happens. But shot selection can absolutely be developed, and this is the time to do it. If you have to decide whether you're going to be like a Swaggy P or you're going to be like a who? I don't even
Tony
know what
Snow.
To say. Yeah, like a Tony Snell.
No, exactly. I think he's going to be more than a Tony Snell. But
yeah, Tony Snell would be really good for Dante right now.
Yeah. There's going to be people who are mad about that sentence.
Why? Tony Snell's good.
Tony Snell is good, but he's like such a low, he's like a very high floor player.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people right want. I know, but I think if he had the floor of Tony Snell and his current ceiling, I think people would be happy. But like, if he's just Tony Snell, I mean, you can just go get a Tony Snell. I think the Bucks are hoping he's significantly more than that, which is, I don't know, which is a risk. It's a gamble. My thing with Dante, the million-dollar question for me is, how does the org, like Horst and Bud, feel about the shot selection? Because I think that's like crucial, and we have no idea. I don't think it's going to be talked about publicly anytime soon. If anyone wants to slide in our DMs and let us know from the org, go right ahead. But like, I wonder if the organization is like, we love your development, we believe you're going to be a future star in the team, Dante, go ahead and take all the shots. Or are they like, hey, maybe cool it, and Dante's just like, no, like, I'm taking these shots. Like, I would just love to know like where the thought process is. Like, I would tend to believe that there's been some green light by the Bucks themselves, because like, I mean, he still plays a ton, right? Like, he's getting a lot of minutes, he's starting. It doesn't really seem like he's been, you know, punished is the wrong word, but it doesn't really seem like there's been anything like to slow him down. But it's very interesting. Stuff like that interests me, like how it's perceived within the Bucks.
Yeah, I feel like you were on point when you said this is a little bit of encouragement from the Bucks, because like I mentioned earlier, this might be a little bit of, hey, Dante, sort of get this so you know you can develop a little bit, right? This is sort of in-season development.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it, but also there's got to be a limit to that. I'm sure the Bucks and Bud don't want him taking just like step back mid-rangers with 20 seconds left on the shot clock.
You would certainly hope not.
Because if that is, they do not know what they're doing in terms of development.
Yeah, it's just like, it's not something I really ever want Dante doing, as long as the rest of these guys are on the team. That's the issue.
And especially because this coaching staff, it's for as much as they're maligned, they have a reputation for developing players.
Yeah. Had, maybe. It's kind of been a while. I mean,
they haven't had an opportunity.
I mean, the Bud's whole thing coming in was Wing University. I remember talking to Sterling Brown about this like 3 years ago, and now he's like crushing it in Houston, and so is Christian Wood. And I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried. DJ
developed in Milwaukee.
I don't think they. I mean, they didn't do anything in Milwaukee though. Like, I don't know. I'd like to see it at least in a way that makes it pay off. Like, I don't think we saw signs of Sterling Brown being good at any point in his Bucks tenure. It seems like everything has changed for him now that he's somewhere else. So I think I'm fascinated to see what ultimate, wherever DJ Wilson goes, how he plays there. Cause that would be like, if they miss on three legit NBA players who were in Milwaukee under complete control and just never were given the opportunity or like the opportunity or minutes to play and prove themselves, that would hurt even worse. Like, it would be,
you know what the test
a little bit
for
brutal.
That is going to be?
What?
Someone who just got called up.
Mamadi?
Yes, sir.
Diakite, say hi. We're here.
He's here. He got called
OG
up. Jeezy knows, wants... just for the, yeah.
OG Jeezy said his stock price has to start at 25 at least. Price of the brick just went up. We're not doing that. But...
no, he has to play. And earn an
he's got to play to get up to one
down stock to sort of but he's coming back. Who knows if it's just for the All-Star break? Probably not. Yeah. I would assume not, considering that he would have to go back into the bubble, and that's the whole routine song and dance. So who knows?
They
do have some theoretical cupcake games against the Knicks, and then back to back against the Wizards coming up.
Whoa,
even though the Knicks did
Knicks are not a cupcake game, man.
That's what I'm saying. They did slap the Bucks in the second game of the season. Was that the second game of the season? That feels like five.
It was very early. I know.
But yes, so they do have like, okay, how about the Wizards?
That's fine.
Okay.
I agree. That's more of a cupcake. Yeah.
So you got those coming up. So maybe Diakite can get some run, especially against a Wizards front court that's sort of, you know, they lost Thomas Bryant and Mo Wagner starting for them. So who knows?
It's going to be blood. We should talk about, there is a roster move. So if this player had stock we were invested in, we would have been forced to sell, but he was not valued. There was no valuation, I should say. I guess he also wasn't valued much by the Bucks. Jalen Adams, with some ongoing legal issues, was released, and Miles Powell was signed to a two-way deal. I mean, I'm not going to break down Miles Powell in detail right now, mostly because I don't know a ton about Miles Powell, and I'm not really expecting him to play a lot. We'll see what happens with Diakite. But given that what Frank Mason, I guess, played a little bit in the bubble, but otherwise didn't really play a ton for the Bucks, and Cam Reynolds didn't play at all last season, I'm not holding my breath to see a lot of Miles Powell in Milwaukee, but I suppose you never know.
The one thing I know about Miles Powell is that Knicks fans were really upset when the Bucks signed him to a two-way, because he was on the Westchester Knicks in the G League bubble, and he was playing, apparently, I haven't really looked into this, but he's been playing really well for them. They were upset to see him go, which is a good sign if you're a Bucks fan.
Yeah, it is. I know he's a guard, and yeah, he's a bulky – oh, no, I guess he just trimmed down. But yeah, a guard, a dynamic guard is what I will say, because I don't really know much about him yet, but – you know, when basketball is back in Oshkosh, I will know more about these G League players.
Probably, hopefully maybe. Soon.
Hopefully soon, indeed. But yeah, that's the plan right now from the Herd. So we will see.
Okay.
We went super long on this.
Do we have anything else we need to hit here? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think I'm good.
Do we have anything
I think
else?
I'm good.
Okay. So we've made some valuations here. We've sort of, both of us are in the positive, which is nice. We've both recovered from mid-season sort of droughts here, made some sales. We've invested in some heavy hitters here. A lot of Drew Holiday love on this pod. Three of the five stocks that were bought today were Drew Holiday. So Drew, we believe in you. We love you. Get that extension done, John. So I guess I will say thank you to everyone for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Wow. And live on Locker Room. Like we mentioned last week, this is going to be a weekly thing. We're going to be doing this live on Locker Room every week. So make sure you tune in. Ty and I, we and the Eurostep account will tweet about it beforehand. So, you know, keep an eye on that and we'll make sure to get you in here for a live listen. Make sure you check out all of the great content across the entire Blue Wire Podcast Network. Stay safe, everyone, and we will talk to you next time.